Welcome, everybody, to episode 306 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great and Breakman the Bold. The stealthy one is on assignment. He should be here, though. He might be late to the party, but returning this week for more griefing of the Frank is Moria Mug. Hey, how you doing, Moria?
I'm doing well, and you guys will never be rid of me now.
I have my pulse, my fingers on the button, Jeff. So
does this mean we have like a fifth party member now?
No, not necessarily. It depends on how much the mug, as I'm going to call him, pisses me off. So
it'll be the revolving door party.
It'll be like Final Fantasy IV. Yeah, but the fifth party. You know, the five
just come and go like Kanan. They'll randomly betray us for no reason.
That is my favorite thing about 4. We should bring that back.
Right. I like 4. 4 through 6 is some of the best RPG gaming you'll ever encounter.
Yeah, other than 6, yeah.
Oh, shut up. Get out of here.
You're fired. We don't need you anymore.
Exile. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Who was it? Bobby Blackwolf always said that you could tell someone's age by their favorite Final Fantasy or thereabouts. I think there's some truth to that. A lot of 7 supporters out there, so you kind of know where they range.
Yeah, 21-year-olds.
You also have to consider that. I mean, for a lot of people, Final Fantasy VII was their first JRPG.
Right, right. Well, that's what I'm
saying. Not only that, but the series didn't launch in Europe until 7.
Yeah.
Did it not? I didn't know that.
Well, let's get started with the news. Maybe we'll
I want to know what everybody's first JRPG was now.
Ooh, that's a good question.
My very first one would have been Dragon Warrior on the Nintendo. Yeah. I didn't like it.
The very first Dragon Warrior, huh?
Yep. First exposure or first actual playing of a game?
First actual playing of a JRPG.
Yeah. Same here. Same.
But I didn't get into it, though. It's like I never finished it,
but it was probably Dragon Warrior 2.
Yeah, I never played any of the other Dragon Quest games. Certainly not the Nintendo ones.
See, I guess I'm lucky because I started with Dragon Warrior 3 and I was hooked from there.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
See, I didn't get into JRPGs until I played the original Final Fantasy. So that came out in what, like 1989?
Yeah, so I didn't play Final Fantasy until after Dragon Warrior the 3rd.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, once I played that game, I was hooked on JRPGs.
I don't think I played the original Final Fantasy until like... Enough. Until I was 13.
I think the first RPG.
I don't know how your age in comparison to me, Eric, so I don't really.
I think Final Fantasy is the RPG I've played most.
I'm going to be 31 next month.
Okay, so I've got 9 years on you.
Let's see. I remember playing even like games like Ultima.
By next month, I'm actually referring to it as September because there's only like 2 days left in August.
The first RPG, like computer RPG that I played was the SSI Goldbox games, like the Pool of Radiance and Curse of the Azure Bonds and Champions of Kryn, if you played any of those.
I watched my brother play some of them.
Yeah. I mean, they're very primitive, you know, by today's standards, but I really had a lot of fun with those.
Yeah. They redid. Yeah.
The first RPG I guess I sort of played was Adventure on the Atari 2600.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I really don't consider that an RPG.
Yeah.
See, that's why I said sort of.
Yeah.
It sort of fits the mold.
It's more of a progenitor to action-adventure than RPG. Yeah. It's like, you know, and it's – you can barely even call it – it's more of a puzzle adventure than anything else.
It's more of a puzzle type deal, but I still give it some – I don't know.
It had an influence on the genre, I think, but it's like I think it's more direct comparison would probably be something like the Zelda series.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it was one of the few Atari games that actually had like a beginning and an ending too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not many Atari games.
Sword Quest. Amen. Sword Quest, which were great games.
Yep.
No, they weren't.
I need to join the chat room. I forgot that I wasn't in there.
Oh, I don't think anybody's in there. Right
sorry,
now.
Chatters. I didn't mean to cough. Wait, actually, we don't have any chatters.
You sound like you're in the bucket, dude.
Who, me?
No, Break.
Oh, Break. I don't see any chatters unusually so this week either. They must all be out. They must all have lives. It is a Friday night. After all,
oh, that's right. It is a holiday.
They're all
I'm not even in the chat right now.
Yeah, they're all having orgies.
Yep.
Ripper. How about now? Do I still sound like I'm in a bucket?
No.
Yes.
Sound fine to me.
You sound more like – actually, now Frank sounds like he's in a bucket.
What?
Why? What if I put it in my mouth?
Oh, no.
Jeez. That's horrible.
Okay, Frank's got bad audio.
Did not need the mental image.
What? I don't have bad audio. You guys have bad ears. That's what it is.
No, you're coming in like crap, and everybody else is too.
Well, my ears are excellent.
I'm starting
Thank
to hear
you.
Everybody breaking up, too.
I tell you what. I'll hang up on you guys. I'll read the next story, and I'll call you right back, okay? All right. The first story is the next Yakuza game is called Yakuza Zero. Let's see. This comes to us from Silicon Era. Let me get the guys back here on the call. Sega announced the next Yakuza game titled Yakuza Zero in Japan this morning. The game is in development for the PS3 and PS4. And further details on this title are scarce. It's more details are going to be released at the TGS in September, Tokyo Game Show. So there's a teaser site. Not much is known about it, so this is not
if Yakuza heard you say Yakuza, they'd probably kill you.
Oh, yeah. Fuck them. This is the U.S. I don't care.
By the way, Frank,
Frank's only going to body back tomorrow.
What's that?
Some of the Nisei Yakuza will kill him.
I get the host next week. Yeah.
Get out of here. Well,
but no, Frank, I was going to say you sound better, but you sound kind of quiet.
Probably. I have a lot of allergies.
The gain on your mic or something.
I have allergies and shit like that, so probably adds to the...
you know what I hear.
And this Yasuka game will not come to the U.S. because Sega sucks.
Right.
Seriously, what are you doing, Sega?
Right. Seriously? I thought the games did well for them.
No, not the last ones.
No,
or at least not well enough for them to consider doing another one.
No, yeah, they're not. They have Square Enix expectations.
Not to mention they kind of screwed up one part of three.
Flabby's in chat. Let me give him the.
Does anybody else have an image of like a big round table at the Sega boardroom where everybody's just sitting there playing rock paper?
I think Sega of Japan, Sega Japan is just content doing Pachi slots. So they're allocating the budget for their other branches isn't really a big concern to them.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, and like that's kind of what SNK has done with a lot of their properties. I mean, they've licensed it out to Pachi slot makers, and which really pains me because I'm like, I want a new I want a good Samurai
that's
Showdown.
Konami also did.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the thing is, Pachi slot is a surefire moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't played the SNK did like the Metal Slug Defense and the Rhythm of Fighters, both of which I hear are actually pretty decent games for for their genres.
Bring some of your Pachi slot machines to Vegas.
Yeah. Oh God.
There you go.
But I looked at one of the Samurai Showdown ones, and it's just they have all these CG cutscenes and like animation stuff that they do, and I was like, wow, so much effort put into something that's not even really a game.
Yeah.
You know there are casinos in our own home state now, right? You don't have to go all the way to Vegas.
What?
I know, but only within certain cities.
No, Brake, you get it wrong. You live in Ohio. You definitely want to go to Vegas, right?
I've been to Vegas. I love Vegas. Yeah. I definitely want to go again. I've
never been.
Oh,
there are casinos in Columbus, and that's pretty much it. And then you have to go to Pennsylvania if you want to go more.
I could do a whole show on Vegas. I love Vegas. I wish we would have done Wicked Con in Vegas again. Welcome to Flabby, Gripper, and now Dungeon Buster into chat. What's up,
Jess? Hey, guys.
Okay, let's move on to the next story, Eric.
I only suggested Vegas because, it's a big moneymaker over there.
Yeah.
Because it's right. Vegas.
Eric, I'm just saying, you betrayed your own state.
And my state betrays itself.
Yeah, that's exactly. True. All right, Eric, next story.
Next story is RPG Creator is basically RPG Maker for iPhone. Want to make a role-playing game on the go? That's what RPG Creator lets you do. This software is essentially a touchscreen take on the RPG Maker that lets players design an RPG with a Dragon Quest-style battle system.
I'm all for that.
I guess it is kind of Dragon Quest, but...
Yeah.
I'm sure with a little ingenuity you can make it different.
Yeah. Make it good.
I'm all for that.
I don't know about... better, because you know it's pretty primitive stuff.
Yeah,
even,
I don't
even by Dragon Quest emulation standards.
There's no way it's going to be better than anything, any Dragon Warrior or Dragon Quest game. But there, some people have produced some amazing stuff with this RPG Maker type shit.
Yes, so. Actually, that reminds me of something I wanted to ask you guys. What do you think about like RPG Maker type games that don't, you know, that basically just utilize the engine but don't have any RPG elements to them?
I don't mostly like just, it.
Like To the Moon?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan.
To the Moon, but I like the idea.
I mean, To the Moon, I thought was fantastic. I mean, it's very well written. It's, you know, touches on some stuff that you
some people
wouldn't...
have actually reconstructed the original Corpse Party game in English on RPG Maker.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was originally an RPG Maker game, so I mean, that's not, you know, terribly surprising.
It was made with a program that was a lot like RPG Maker, and
I mean, it's, but I mean, it's the. With the DOS, I don't know about the original game, but I know that the remake of it that they did for the PC, Blood Covered, was made in something called Hot Soup Processor, and which is this it's this really, you know, really easy approachable, you know, programming, you know, setup, not really a language in and of itself, but kind of a framework, you know, that kind of, you know.
So I wonder if they'll. I wonder if when Corpse Party launches on Steam, it will. They'll do some magic to get some of the PSP assets onto the game.
Yeah,
there's been talk about that. And
because the
I know
official
that,
artwork from the original game is ugly.
Yeah, it really is. But I know that's, you know, again, to, you know, toot Sarah Lean's horn. I know that she's had. I mean, it's been giving her fits because apparently they've had to. Rebuild the entire game essentially in a decent programming language. I mean, it's not just a port; it's essentially a remake in a, you know, but, you know, like recoding the entire thing to perfectly simulate
it,
the original.
It might actually be easier to throw that in there.
Yeah, but I know that it's that Sarah's been having a lot of trouble with it. It's been giving her a lot of trouble.
Dungeon Buster says RPG Maker is just a tool like anything else, so can't be mad if someone decides to use it for something else. Here's my issue with it. Not so much an issue. More power to you if you want to use RPG Maker to make something other than an RPG, but there are so many tools out there that probably would best suit your needs. Like, I don't...
It kind of depends. I mean, have you played what is it? The Witch's House?
No, that says I have.
It's another horror game, very scant on story.
I was hoping you were going to say on clothing.
No, that's me.
We're gonna.
You're welcome.
At this rate,
I quit. I'm out. Done.
At this rate, Sarkeesian's gonna be after us next, guys. So, you know, let's calm down a little bit here, especially when it comes to less clothing for the mug.
Whoa! We didn't bring gender into this.
Well, I'm just
saying. Well,
I didn't. I did not say anything. I said it's very scant on story. You said I was hoping. I thought you were going to say clothes. Said, no, that's me. Nobody said anything about gender.
Breakman, if anybody knows you, we know exactly what you're talking about, sir. So,
and to be fair, he's the only one with the gender specified in his name. So, you know, by definition, he's bringing gender into it. You fuck.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, Sarkeesian, it's on Twitter at Frank Branches.
I'm sure her and I are going to get into it one day, for sure. Not for, you know.
Are you sure she pretty much shuts everybody out?
Well, we'll see.
I was going to say, I don't think she'd even talk to you.
You can't really blame her for shutting people out because, well.
Have you dealt with the internet lately?
Well,
yeah.
That's,
I know. It's like, have you looked at, you know.
We're going to talk about that shit later on in the show.
That,
let's move on.
Zoe Quinn thing. It's like, the more I see about that, it's just like. Someone made a really good point about that, and where, you know, really what, you know, everyone's going on about Zoe Quinn's, you know, role in this, you know, with whether sex happened or if sex didn't happen or whatever. But what people should be focusing on is the journalist, you know, because as a journalist, it's your responsibility to avoid influence.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's like she's not being paid to, you know, you know, to not sleep with somebody, and like it doesn't matter who she sleeps with, you know.
Yeah.
As far as she goes, but
I
you know,
agree.
I thought the big concern was over her using influence to suppress negative responses about her game or the situation that's currently going on.
Yeah, we'll talk about it, guys. Later on in the show, we're going to have a whole section where we talk about this. Let's get through this news first. Breakman, okay. Can you read the next story, sir?
All right, coming to us live from Silicon Era. Brave Frontier publisher Gumi?
Yes.
I'm going to go with Gumi.
Expanding if it's 1M, it's Gumi.
It's Gumi? Okay.
If it's well, 1M, it's Gumi, yeah.
But I like calling them Gumi because, yeah. You know, the Gumi. Gummy worms or something. What? Anyway, they're the gummy bears. Gumi
bouncing
expanding
here and
into
there
the
and
west.
Everywhere.
What's that?
I said bouncing here and there and everywhere.
Oh man, you're the best.
I adventure that's beyond compare.
DVD.
Anyway, go ahead.
Thank you for understanding and running with that. I appreciate it. Hires former Xbox and Capcom staff. Gummy Bears Inc., the publisher behind mobile titles such as Brave Frontier, are expanding into the West. As part of their plans, they're opening up shop in the U.S., including a new headquarters in Austin, which is – why is it always Austin?
Texas. They have Austin great has, – Austin has a lot – I think they provide a lot of tax incentives for businesses.
I was about to say, is it tax related? Because there are a lot of businesses that go to Austin.
Dungeon Buster says Gummy
Bears.
There's
just Jesus in Texas, Funimation's in Texas.
Dungeon Buster says Gummy Bears the best cartoon ever. So
I don't know if I'd go that far, but
yeah,
it was really
I wasn't.
Good.
I
almost exiled Dungeon Buster for the first time.
Isn't
ever
it like
for saying
it's
that.
Probably more like the best worst cartoon that you remember from your childhood. It probably won't hold up once you see it again.
Weren't they all bad? Other
and
than
a
like,
lot of them do not hold up, but there are some that do.
Like
I tell
what?
You, they on that note, there was one theme song that kept getting stuck in my head multiple times across multiple days, and
Blurred
like,
Lines.
No, the theme song, not pop song. Oh. I've actually never heard Blurred Lines.
Yeah, they're full of shit. You got now.
Well, you don't have to worry about that. Just listen to Word Crimes.
I know that song is amazing, but no, the theme song that got stuck in my head was the old Heathcliff opening. I was like, it's so catchy.
all those like early 80s cartoons had catchy ass themes, like Inspector Gadget. I hated that cartoon, but the opening was so damn catchy.
Oh, that cartoon was the worst, man. I hated that cartoon.
Yeah. Well,
cartoon
was just like Garfield? One...
No, not Garfield. No, no. Not Heathcliff.
Inspector Gadget.
We're talking about Inspector Gadget.
It's like, you know, basically the entire thing was one long riff on Maxwell Smart.
Yeah. Another shitty cartoon.
Which was already a riff on something, you know?
Hey, Mighty Orbots, Dungeon Buster. Good stuff. I don't think anybody else actually remembered that cartoon.
Orbots.
Anytime that we bring up old cartoons.
Yes.
Anytime we bring up old cartoons, man, it strikes up a conversation, I swear.
Yeah, anyway, don't we have news to get through? Yeah,
we do.
Maybe you could save the cartoon talk for our Grindr talk.
Maybe, although I have a Grindr talk. But Brave Frontier, so what
oh, wait, yeah, we were doing news, weren't we?
Yeah.
Anyways, I got totally sidetracked on this whole Austin thing.
Sidetracked, man.
Yes. my sidecar. So they're building an office in Austin. They're also putting one in Vancouver, which is also another very popular spot. I can understand Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Austin, I guess it is about taxes. Former general manager of the Microsoft game studio, AJ Redmer, will be heading up two studios. And there's a picture of him on this link that I'll post in chat.
The reason Canada, huge tax breaks there.
Right.
Too.
Right.
So,
not only that, they got lower like crime rates and stuff
there's a myriad of reasons
I was gonna say there are a lot of reasons, not just taxes, for going there.
Vancouver's almost the United States, so it's like real close. It's right by Seattle, if anybody doesn't know.
Redmer was a founding member of the Xbox 360 team and worked on high level strategy, hardware design, developer relations, content strategy, marketing design, and manufacturing plans. He was most recently CEO at We Made Entertainment USA. That's the name of the company, We Made Entertainment. The Vancouver studio, and yeah, we've never heard of it, any of us. I guess that wasn't a good sign.
No.
The Vancouver studio, Gummy Bear, noted it's staffed by former Capcom veterans who've worked on the Dead Rising and Devil May Cry franchises. Oh, here we go. Hironao Kunimitsu, CEO of Gummy Bears, sent a statement in our experience
gummy
of achieving global success with Brave Frontier. We recognize that Western markets such as the U.S., Canada, and Europe have unique tastes to their local cultures and playing styles.
I love when Brake reads news stories. It's awesome.
When, you mean Europe's complete obsession for everything that is a racing game or a soccer game? And that is about it?
Yeah.
As we have already done with our studios in Asia, we've set out to build studios in key regions with the best talent and domain expertise to produce original content that is relevant to local markets in the West, that he says. In addition, the company also announced it's expanding its relationship with Sega, who we talked a lot about, and will publish more. Did we do that before the show, though, or was that show? Maybe I shouldn't have brought that up. More of Sega's Japanese titles globally. The first title they mentioned is Chain Chronicles, which is a 3D tower defense style game. Chain Chronicles?
What kind of name is that? Yeah.
I don't care about their partnership with Sega if it doesn't involve Yasuko.
What do you guys think?
Yasuko? You gave him shit about pronouncing Yakuza, and then you said Yasuko?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, we're going to be down two members of RP Grinders. Will you be joining us next week? Because we're going to be down some members there.
Look, you guys should know better by now. Not even the Yakuza can take me down. So, you know.
Well, yeah, but Eric isn't immortal like you.
Right.
He hasn't been around for 5 billion years.
Fuck off, you son of a bitch.
Like, literally, you were watching the creation of Earth from some other distant planet, weren't you?
How do you know I didn't create the Earth?
He was right up there with the Sumerians, who were very shocked when God suddenly created the world around them.
Frank created the Shinsengumi.
Oh, jeez.
The Shinseng gummy bears.
Get out of here, guys, son of a bitches. All right, so...
Wow, Gummy also said there are some 30 games in the pipeline of development. I'm guessing a bunch
they're
of them
all,
are
they're
crappy
all iOS games. And Android, though.
Well, yeah, but I'm guessing a lot of them are crappy. That's a lot of games. Yeah, when you do a lot of games like that, a lot of them are going to end up as crap.
Yeah.
The company did recently raise some $50 million in funding from venture capitalist group World Innovation Lab. Well, I guess unless you hire a lot of people. But
Dungeon Buster's exiled. He says, I went to grade school with Galactus, you son of a bitch. Goddamn son of a bitch, Dungeon Buster.
Let's make that a TV show.
You know what? I hate you so much, Eric. You have no idea. All right. Let's move on to this story, Eric. Next story.
Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 2 coming west in early 2015. Neptunia Rebirth 2 Sisters Generation is coming to North America and Europe, Idea Factory announced this morning. The game is a remake of the second Neptunia game for Vita. One of the changes to the game, you'll now have four members in your party and four more supporting characters. Additionally, the characters now move and speak during event scenes. So I guess
crap.
They were static images before.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard too many good things about Hyperdimension Neptunia.
Only heard good things about the remix, as in they're actually playable and thus enjoyable. Because apparently a lot of the gameplay systems in the first two games were awful.
Are you going to get this, Eric?
Eventually.
Yeah. I always get these games.
I don't know if I'll get Rebirth 1 today or tomorrow. I mean tomorrow because I don't have time today.
First things first, I have to get a Vita.
It's either that or Layton.
Probably Layton.
Probably going to skip Layton because I have no idea whether or not M2 has got code for that game or not.
Ah, gotcha.
You might have just got it today.
Anybody else getting Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 2? I don't think anybody... Mug, do you have a Vita?
Yeah, I do, but that's not really my kind of thing.
What? Get out of here. Any RPG is our thing, man.
Didn't say our thing. I said my thing. I'm extremely particular about JRPGs.
I bet you you'd rather get Madden on the Vita.
No, I hate football.
I don't hate football, but I hate
Madden. I don't think there is Madden on the Vita.
I think so.
I have no idea.
On the PSP, I don't know why there wouldn't be on the Vita.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It was actually pretty good on the PSP.
Fuck Madden.
At least the version I had.
All right. I'll read the next story. This comes to us from PlayStation Lifestyle. Dust, an Elysian Tale, coming, quote, really soon to the PS4.
Next month.
To the PS4 in 1080p and 60 frames per second. The ever mythical 60 frames per second that nobody ever can do, apparently. But these guys are going to do it. So,
it's not mythical. Besides, it shouldn't be difficult at all for a 2D game.
For 2D game.
I totally agree. But
So basically, this game is a PC version, but on PS4.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't see what the big deal about 60 frames per second.
What do you mean you don't see the big deal? Blake?
No, I've played a lot of games that aren't 60 frames per second, and they are fantastic games.
That's not my argument, Brad.
We'll call it P.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this like 60 frames per second isn't bad. Like that'd be pretty awesome. I'm just saying like.
It's not a requirement for a good game, but if you can get 60 frames per second, go for it.
My big thing, I agree, it's not a requirement.
It's just that the developers have the opportunity now to make games on a console that could do that easily, but they
overreach and make
their graphics sensors too taxing, and then they can't do it.
I've made this argument for years. Eric is probably really sick of me making it. I would sacrifice a little bit of graphical power for a better frame rate.
I'm in agreement.
Now, we've spoken about that before.
I'd be tired of you saying it all the time. Period.
So what? look.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'll take a hit in graphic fidelity for, you know, a rock solid frame rate.
Mm-hmm.
And not just 60 either. I mean, because like it could be 60, but then it goes all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even mind if it's like the Tomb Raider on the PS4 and Infamous Second Son, they were, you know, 60 frames per second unlocked.
Yeah.
But it's like they could drop down between 30 and 60 depending on what was going on.
I see, this to me is very lazy development. I don't like it.
It's not preferred, but I don't mind it. Yeah. I mean, and they both of them is I don't know about Tomb Raider, but I know that
now, Infamous Second Son, you could keep it at 630.
Yeah, like those. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That they did the same thing with Infamous Second Son. I think they did on Tomb Raider.
I think I'm the only one in the world that think this is a big deal because I get into it with Eric quite often about this and other people. I'm very staunch on this. All right, the developers out there are some of the most talented people ever to be in existence when it comes to video games. Right,
but they have bosses.
I know they have bosses, but
they have to do what they're told.
Look,
they
want to keep their jobs. Thing. These people
release a game now and release it now, so they do.
Here's the thing, right? Let me finish, guys, before we start chiming in here. Let me get my point out, because otherwise I'll forget it and we'll move on.
And mission will be accomplished.
Right, exactly. Here's the deal. This is my argument. These guys have the talent, the know-how to do it, right? Why not just do it? 60 frames per second to me is a hell of a lot better than 30 frames per second. If you've looked at games side by side with 60 and 30, there's no comparison, right? So to me, I'm with you guys. I can play a 30 frame per second video game, no problem. But why do we have to settle for that? We have the horsepower in these machines to do 60 frames per second. So just go in with the idea that you're going to do a 60 frame per second game. And if that means that the graphics take a slight hit, then that so be it. Who gives a shit?
I doubt it's less about graphics and more about money.
I think
that development cycles play a large role in it.
Right.
Because you're dealing with, I mean, you know, I'm sure developers would all, you know, like just like, you know, a given piece of art, you know, it's never finished until it's forced out the door.
Exactly.
You know, and they would continue to tweak and tweak and tweak until, you know, they got everything, you know, just perfect. And the thing is, it's never going to be just perfect. And eventually, you know, there are deadlines set for a reason, because if they're without a deadline, it just won't happen.
And they're bosses, and there's big money involved, publishers and stuff. There are demands, that there are goals that have to be met.
Well,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
There's a lot of things that go into it. I don't think it's lazy. I bet these guys are working their asses off.
Look, Breakman, we've done this before on this show, and there's plenty of evidence to say that it's lazy, right?
I mean, I'm not saying with all developers. Watch Dogs. I'm sure there are lazy developers.
Watch Dogs is a perfect example. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, I've got the PS4 version.
They could be set higher, but they capped them because they were afraid of, like, well, that's the excuse they gave. They were afraid that it might cause performance issues.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Well, I mean, I honestly think in that case it was because the PS4 and Xbox One were simply not capable of processing everything.
I'll give you another example, all right, of a game that should have never had any issues with frame rate whatsoever or 60 frames per second or even 30 for that matter. South Park. South Park's a perfect – on the PS3. I'm not going to say PS4.
The Xbox 360 version was pretty freaking awesome.
I'm just saying, like, shit like that pisses me off. There's no Fallout reason
3
for
comes
it.
To mind.
It's just no.
Well, that game wasn't 60 FPS either, but at least it was not 30.
I think though that when it doesn't really matter that much for a lot of genres. I mean, if you're dealing with something like a fighting game, where everything's like it's frame specific stuff, then yeah, you need 60 frames per second.
Mm.
And
yeah, I've played way too many lagged fighting games. It is not fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, you look at Guilty Gear Xrd, and that is how it's pronounced, not Xrd.
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 Yeah.
Xrd.
Xrd. I mean, the game looks amazing, and they're like, and they're going to put it out on the PS4 at 1080p, 60 frames per second. PS3 version will have 720p, 60 frames per second. And I mean, the dip in the resolution is not the important part. It's the point, because the resolution doesn't affect how it plays.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, like, I compared, because I played Strider on the PS4, and I also checked out the demo for it on the PS3. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like night and day. It's like supposedly the PS4 version is a rock solid 60 frames per second at all times, and it looks very nice.
I love that frame rate on the game.
Yeah, I mean, it looks very nice, although, I mean, I had some issues with the game itself. But the PS3 version is supposed to be 30 frames per second. I was like, I'm sorry, this doesn't look like 30 frames per second to me. It looks more like 20 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it was one of those games that really kind of showcased, resolution and frame rate really do make a big difference.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've been saying for a very long time. Dungeon Buster says, spend 4 weeks on coding development for 60 frames per second or devote resources to additional content. I'll take the 4 weeks at 60 frames per second. I would take that.
And I think
there's big money involved in a lot of this development.
I do think that one of the things about it, though, is the fact that the nicer your screenshots look on the back of your package, the more likely you are to pick up a casual sale.
Maybe.
But those casual sales, a lot of them just buy from what they see on the freaking cover and then the rating.
Yeah.
Because it's usually a mom.
Right.
Not really. I mean,
a mom or dad buying for Christmas, grandma and grandpa. Oh, that's got an M. What does that mean?
Yeah.
It means M for manly. It means your nephew, your grandson is manly if you buy this game.
Right. All right,
my granddaughter. Oh, Jesus Christ, old lady, just buy the fucking game.
All right, let's move on to the next story. Break. Go ahead. Next story, man.
Wait, there was more stories.
Yeah.
Oh, I got completely sidetracked. We did that. PlayStation Lifestyle. Was that the last story? Mm-hmm. All right. Coming to us live from Destructoid. Ska Studios' next game, Salt and Sanctuary, is at the PlayStation. Salt and Sanctuary. Ska Studio certainly has a style all its own. The independent studio is following up on the Dishwasher series and Charlie Murder with Salt and Sanctuary.
Why is this title so amusing?
I don't know. It's just like, what the hell?
I think it sounds funny. Salt and Sanctuary.
Well, I think the idea is that you use salt to fight the demons because I guess it involves witchcraft and stuff.
Hmm.
And there's like a thing about lore about using salt to ward evil or something.
Yeah, I know that, all about that.
Now, I never played like Charlie Martyr, but I love the second Dishwasher game.
I never played Vampire Smile. I still
never,
need to get
never
it.
Yeah,
played
it's,
any
it's
of
much
games.
Better than the original, in my opinion.
I'm intrigued now. Salt and Sanctuary is a side-scrolling action RPG, which I like this. I like the idea. This should appeal to Castlevania and Souls fans. Yes. you had me at action side-scrolling RPG because I was just thinking Castlevania.
Yep.
Weapons can be one-handed and paired with shields or offhand crossbows for versatility or wielding two-handed for added power. And every configuration has its – yeah, sorry if that was going to be another word. Every configuration has its own unique moveset. There are staffs for magic, bows for ranged combat, and belt-slotted consumables like throwing daggers and weapon-buffing pitchfire. Of course, loadout weight affects your movement, rolling speed, and stamina regen. So a good balance of defense and agility is key. Basically, combines two things we love: fast, precise 2D combat and super strategic RPG death.
I like that.
Nice.
Quote, unquote.
I'm down for this game.
Yeah, sounds good. Speaking of the 2D...
I'd like to know more.
Speaking of like the 2D action RPGs, have you guys seen anything about Time Spinner?
No. Oh shit! Sorry, guys. I was.
We talked about Time Spinner, Frank.
I was gonna say we did talk about that, didn't we?
When, Eric?
Like weeks ago.
Well, see,
like,
I mean,
like
come
months
on.
Ago.
No, yeah, I mean, can't remember even last week, so it's kind of hard for him.
Yeah.
Is that how you've lived so long, Frank? You just don't remember day to day.
Son of a bitch! Look, this game. I looked at the trailer. There's one problem that I have with it. The art style actually looks really cool. It's like just as described, side-scrolling RPG, action RPG. But to me, like the movement seemed a little too static. Like when you try to hit some.
Got until next year to make it better.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's plenty of time, but it just seems a little unpolished right
stiff.
Now. Yeah, a little stiff. That's perfect.
No way, the game Salt not Sanctuary done. Or? Is it polished yet?
Salt and Sanctuary.
No way.
Salt and Sanctuary. I mean, it looks okay, but to me it looks a little stiff right now. That might change, though. So
stiff like Tekken.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a good thing that Pokken Fighters is or tournament. Yeah,
I saw something like, for the love of God, whatever you do, don't Google image search Pokken.
Yeah.
Anyways, Pokken Tournament is not using the Tekken engine, which is good.
No. All right.
Mm.
So Salt and Sanctuary looks pretty interesting. I think I'll. Is this what? PS4 and PS Vita. Shit. Does that mean I have to finally get a PS4 or a Vita?
You could buy a PlayStation TV.
Wait, where's the PS4 you were buying me?
It's in the mail. Right.
Well, hypothetically, it may
just
not
like
work.
Just like those paychecks you said you sent me?
It's actually a PS3 with a PS4 labeled on it.
Yeah, you didn't get your checks, Brake? Yes.
No, still waiting.
In the mail, yeah, sir.
The PlayStation TV is not 100% compatible with all games.
Yeah, but for a game like this, it's probably.
Probably, yeah.
Because the only games it doesn't really work with are the ones with touchscreen interfaces.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. I mean, you'd think that they would make it work with PS, like a DualShock 4.
Yeah, since you could make... it's like, why don't they work on patches to make it controller compatible?
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, but with the DualShock 4, you also have the touchpad, which, you know, you could use to take
apart.
I haven't
seen very many PS4 games that actually take advantage of the touchpad other than its actual button function.
Yeah. I mean, there's... You know, like, there's a couple like swiping motions and like infamous Second Son, and I mean it's very token.
Yeah. Well, speaking of systems with touch screens and novelty type shit, this story comes to us from Silicon Era. Xenoblade Chronicles announced for new Nintendo 3DS. And this morning's 3DS Direct, Nintendo announced their latest model of the 3DS series with new Nintendo 3DS and the XL version that has improved features, including more powerful CPU. During the stream, Iwata
announced... I don't know why they're calling it a remake in this article, but whatever.
During the stream, Nintendo President Satoru Iwata announced that a remake of Xenoblade Chronicles is currently in the works and will be released for the Nintendo 3DS models. Yeah, remake. I think it's just a port.
Yeah, like I said, why are they calling it a remake?
Yeah, that's...
Unless they're, like, completely remaking the game, which I doubt they're doing.
No, they're not going to remake the entire game. Come on, man.
Yeah. And they might have to recode the entire thing from scratch, but they're not remaking anything.
Yeah, I agree. It's exciting, for sure. Now, obviously, this is going to play on all 3DS systems, right?
No.
No? What the...
Yeah, what? See, and this is where Nintendo was going to shoot themselves in the foot.
Yep.
They already screwed up with the Wii U because they didn't differentiate it enough to, you know, like, just they didn't market it as a
Still haven't. That's yeah, I know. Problem.
I mean, there's still not enough widespread knowledge that the Wii U is a different system from the Wii.
It's like I told you, Jeff, they need to stop production immediately.
No, they need to remarket the Wii U is what they need to do.
Yeah. They really do.
They already did that.
They need to remarket it.
They already did remarket it.
And it was a shitty remarketing. They need to hire some American people who are familiar with American pop culture and get them on it.
What they should have did is completely named it something different. Like, they should have stuck with Revolution.
Yeah, but it's kind of too late to rename a system.
I don't know. I mean, it's like it's.
I mean, hell, they could have done with, you know, the Super Wii. I mean, and then, you know, like, hey, it worked fine like for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
I mean, it's cheesy. I mean, and it's, you know, it's like that was fine for the 90s, and it's really, really, you know, hokey now, but it would still be better than what they're doing now.
Exactly. Yeah, the Super Wii. You're 100% right. We have talked about this at nausea.
Yeah. The Super Wii would have been way better than
Wii.
So,
yeah, in case you're wondering, this game is going to be an exclusive for the new Nintendo 3DS, which is.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, are they going to rename this thing? Or are they seriously just calling it the new 3DS?
New Nintendo 3DS. Yep.
That's idiots.
Yep, I agree. I totally agree.
I thought they were going to just replace the old 3DS with this one. They're going to market this separate. They're going to sell this separate from the 3DS?
Yes, because it's going to have games.
Oh my god, that is the most dumb idea.
Break. Let me say something.
Okay.
This is basically the Game Boy Color of the 3DS line. Where certain games could only be played on it.
Yeah, but the problem was the Game Boy Color. I mean, Game Boy was, you know, I mean, it had been around for several
years. Game Boy
years.
And then there's Game Boy Color. Color. Well,
yeah, but my point was, though, that Game Boy Color is very distinct from Game Boy.
From Game Boy Monochrome.
Not new Nintendo 3DS. You know, yes. You say, I bought a new Nintendo 3DS.
I'm imagining the Japanese. The Japanese R&D that came up with the name for this game, they were probably thinking new Mario, new Super Mario Brothers. So why not new 3DS?
Well, why didn't right?
They need to stop naming them new Super Mario Brothers. By the way,
you know what they should have did? You know what they should have did? It should have been something like Nintendo 3DS Ultra.
Some people suggest a Super 3DS.
I don't think they can actually use the word Ultra.
They're fractioning their customer base
Ultra's
again.
Ultra's exclusive property of Power Rangers. Konami.
No, I mean it's the
you can
it's
use
Konami
Ultra.
Thing.
You can use Ultra.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that? Like why there was Ultra Games?
Yeah, well, I know about Ultra Games, but I didn't know that thing was still around.
You can use Ultra.
That's why the Nintendo 64 wasn't called the Ultra 64 because Konami said, "Well, we own that, you know, if you want to use that word in your property name, then you're going to have to pay us, a license fee, a royalty fee, or something."
I would have strong armed them.
It was funny to go back and play the Killer Instinct arcade game where it's like calls it the Ultra 64.
Yeah, in 1995 for your Nintendo Ultra 64.
I would have totally strong armed them if I was Nintendo. I'd be like, you know what? We're going to use the name because it's hardware, not software. So take us to court, and we're not going to publish any of your shit. So have a nice day. You know,
I don't know what to think about the 3DS. I mean, it sounds like I don't know how much more CPU power it has, but I don't know what's about. I think the resolution on the screen is actually the same.
Yeah,
so you're not getting improved visuals.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. It's like if it were double the resolution, and you know, and just you know more, and just you know more powerful. And you know everything looked nicer. Then okay, maybe, but you'd also need to change the name to differentiate it because as it is, you're going to be segmenting a market that doesn't realize it's being segmented.
Yeah, you're fracturing your customer base, and your customer base will not understand.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have people who buy games for their kids, like, ooh, this game,
and they'll be able to play it.
Yes, yeah, and then you're going to have some very upset customers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Once
I
again, Nintendo does not understand the market.
And it's coming out next month in Japan.
Here's the thing, Breakman. They've understood it for this long and have made money for so many years. Like, everybody's waiting – for Nintendo to just somehow collapse. But
and look at like the Nintendo press conference. Like that was like, hey, we get America. But yeah. But then they do things like this where they're releasing a system and they're naming it basically the exact same as a system that's already out.
Wait, you're going to cap games for it. To be fair, this is the Japanese name for the console.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Who knows what they're going to do in North America.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a valid point.
Reggie needs to step in there and say, no, we're going to give this another name.
Yeah, I mean, somebody there, I mean, they've been around for, you know, for well over 100 years. They're not idiots.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, the NES is the Nintendo Entertainment System. That's like a facsimile of a. It alludes to the original Famicom without calling it the Famicom, but the one thing.
The one thing the RP Grinders agree on is that we all love Nintendo.
Yeah, I think that's one of the universal things that we can all agree on. Nintendo is a great company. They have been for many years. They've made their flubs, like online. But see, I think they get their fan base. I don't think the majority of Nintendo fans really give a shit about online, to be honest. I think it's changing slowly but surely. But
people that complain about friend codes, I mean, the friend codes were dumb in the beginning because you had to enter actual codes. But now you can just use their NICs.
Well, there's one problem that I still have with Nintendo's policies. And it's not even policies, just the way that they've set up their systems with the operating system and everything. And that's the fact that downloaded games are tied to systems and not accounts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
– yeah, that's dumb.
Because, I mean, we actually got my stepdaughter received a 2DS with one of the new Pokemon games on it. You know, it's like pre-installed. Well, her 2DS, it died. I mean,
that sucks.
Yeah, and it's like it wouldn't turn on. The screen would just, you know, it would flicker for a second. It was dead. So we sent it in. I mean, and it's like it's under warranty. We'll send you the information. You send it in to us, and we'll fix it and send it back. Well, it comes back. It doesn't have the game on it, and we don't have any way of getting it back.
See, that I would call them, and I would say, look, we bought this. And the system broke down. You guys need to give me a code for that game.
Well, yeah, you can get things fixed, but it's like pulling teeth.
It shouldn't be that way.
I mean, and it's not like, you know, with at least with the Xbox and the PS3, you know, you can go to your download list and download whatever you've already purchased.
Love that feature.
Yeah, I love that.
I mean,
too.
That is the nice thing about cloud-based gaming.
Yeah. All right, that's the end of the news for this week.
Probably get this thing because I'm a whore, but whatever.
Right.
We knew.
You are a whore.
It was never in any doubt.
All right, Eric.
Hey, don't let them shame you.
You've got a couple
There's
of...
no shame in that. It's the world's oldest profession.
You've got a couple of homie discounts for us, Eric. What are they?
Homie discounts. Half Minute Hero, the Second Coming, gets a late access sale on Steam. That's kind of cute, late access.
Yeah.
It'll run from August 25th to August 31st, so you only got a couple more days. If you're listening to this, it'll probably be over by then.
No.
Because the archivers never listen on the weekends.
You don't think?
No. Unless you get right to it, but at the
if
time...
If you're listening to us on the weekends, we're sorry for your sad, sad life.
Anyways, at the time, the game will probably be on sale during their fall sale. So maybe I'll just wait until then.
Yep. So,
but the game will be available for 33% off on Steam. We'll also include a free copy of the first game and a soundtrack as a free digital download and a 50% off of Skullgirls Encore coupon.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. I messed around with Skullgirls Encore for a bit. But I haven't really gotten into it yet.
Wyland is big on that game, so...
That's also coming to PS4, by the way.
Huh, cool. I'm all for that. The first Half Minute Hero was really good. I enjoyed it.
I heard some not great things about the sequel.
I haven't played the sequel, so I can't comment. But the first was good, so... all right.
I've got a homie discount, and it's specifically for Frank.
Oh, Dragon Age Origins is free.
No. On Android systems, Dragon Quest VIII is now on sale.
Oh.
Would you like would you like to
for five freaking dollars?
For let's see, it was
exactly
15...
how much it's worth.
It started at $19.99. Let's see what,
no,
it's,
I mean,
what
it's
they're
less,
selling now.
$17.99
is what I meant.
$17. Right. You're close.
$17.99. That's what I guess. What is it?
Since you're the closest, but you went over. So what are the?
I wasn't giving you the price. I was giving you how much money it's actually been docked. So it's actually $16.
Yes, that is the correct guess. That's what it's on sale for right now.
Oh boy, it's not worth it, man. That sucks. That's a shame because it's a good game.
And
they took out
and
the
don't
voice
play
acting.
It unless you have an iPhone 5 because it will run like shit otherwise.
Yeah, I got an iPhone 5, but
I've got a G2, and I'm not going to download it and see how well it plays on my phone. But my phone is pretty powerful.
That's only if you mind playing with virtual D-pads and shit.
Yeah. All right, Eric. What's the other homie discount?
The only homie discount is for Smash Brothers. Register both versions of Smash Brothers on Club Nintendo, and you'll get the free soundtrack CD in both US and Europe, so it's going on in both places.
Is there a reason to buy both? I mean, honestly.
For the soundtrack, weren't you listening? Jeez.
On the Go Play and then at home play.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, hey, I will say, like, when Sony did their thing with the PlayStation All Stars. It was cross-buy. You bought it on the one, you got it on both.
Yeah, that won't work here.
Yeah, I know. Like Nintendo doesn't
Nintendo
do that.
Nintendo does not do cross-play. They deny the existence of cross-play.
Yeah.
It does all not right. exist.
And Nintendo of America still doesn't know how to do cross-buy, yet Europe seems to be able to do it now.
I know, it's weird. Why? That there are certain wonky things about Nintendo that
suck.
Hey,
Reggie,
like that,
you need a slapping.
The games, for sure.
I think Reggie's more of a mouthpiece than anything.
Reggie's not a good rep.
Iwata needs a slapping because he is the CEO of Nintendo of America.
Yeah, I think Reggie's a robot. To be honest, I've never met Reggie, but he has a lot of robotic
qualities. He doesn't age. He doesn't change his tone of voice.
Nope.
I think there might be something to this. He's a robot thing.
Yep. See? I know all.
I'm coming around to it.
Reggie's
going to
take over the U.S.
side.
One day.
Break. I know all.
Reggie Army.
My friend. You know
on
what?
Your side, he is a robot.
It's either that.
I wonder if there's like Reggie, like three different kinds of Reggie, like in the Reggie Pokemon. Reggie Gigas, Reggie Ice, Reggie Rock, and Reggie Steel.
Hey, Break. You ever see that Series V?
Yes.
Maybe Reggie's like
the original,
the,
not the remake.
Right. Maybe Reggie's the ultimate like lizard king guy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so this nice guy thing is all an act.
Yeah.
he just wants to eat us. Okay.
Well,
lizards in disguise.
The aliens.
The naughty stuff.
Yeah.
David Icke stuff.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Do we have any Twitter questions, Break?
No. We had this guy on Twitter begging us to be on our show. Oh, wait. No.
Wait, what? Oh. Dungeon Buster says Reggie the Robot version 1.0. Definitely.
Rock'em Sock'em Reggie.
I think we're past.
Me and you, Frank, we's going to have words.
Oh, I am looking forward to that. We did do the ALS challenge. At least I did and Break did. Because we were challenged by Freak 5 Chaos. I was also challenged by Joe Keating. And I did do it. So if you look on the RP Grinders page, Facebook page, you can see me getting soaked with ice water.
And I'm having problems getting access to it.
It's called the Ice Bucket Challenge, not the Ice Water Challenge.
I use plenty of ice cubes.
Yeah. So... Yeah, so did I, and it was cold, and it sucked.
It was very fucking cold. I don't know about you, but it took my breath away for a few seconds. I couldn't say anything, just like...
Dungeon Buster says...
I challenge Frank to the cinnamon challenge.
Oh, fuck that.
What's a cinnamon?
Look,
what's a cinnamon challenge?
Who do
you know the
think
cinnamon
you're
challenge
with
where you
here?
Basically you take a tablespoon of cinnamon and just try to eat it?
You can't eat it. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. It's just impossible. Nobody's ever done it in the history of man.
I mean,
the cracker challenge? Like you eat six crackers in a minute?
You can't.
Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah, I mean, it's because it's essentially a desiccant. It dries your mouth out and it's just.
No, it's not. No. Mug, you're exiled, man. Exiled. Dungeon Buster
I keep
says,
hearing that, but I don't hear any action backing it up.
Dungeon Buster says, Reggie the robot's allergic to red dust.
Nice.
That's so Frank awesome. Is basically like our Congress.
Oh, get out of here.
lots and lots of words.
So anyways, sound, yes.
Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
Yeah, whatever. What was I going to say? Okay, so ALS challenge accepted and performed by Break and I think Eric and Stealth donated.
And that was Freak 5 Chaos that challenged us? Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
don't be shy about it. Tell us how you really feel.
He also, to his credit, he did cinnamon pretzels are yummy. He did post his video on there. Challenging us. Did you think we weren't going to come through Freak 5 Chaos? Come on now, man.
Probably.
You know
well, unless our name is Eric.
I already told you he can't do it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then there's Stealth, who was, dumb.
I'll donate, but I'm not going to take the challenge. He's
what
afraid
challenge?
Of
I don't know what you're
You know what?
About.
Stealth is the alien from Signs that's allergic to water. That's
Signs.
What he is. Yeah.
Kind of the dumbest freaking movie.
Yeah. Well, it was okay up until the ending. But
no, anyways. Well, the only good part of it was the bit.
Of course, it wasn't okay.
I mean, it was the only good part of it was in the basement when it was all dark, and it was all like the sound, the sound design and everything in that part was really, really good.
I liked that movie till the ending. The ending was just dumb.
I loved Unbreakable, and I really liked Sixth Sense. But after that, it was all downhill.
I hated Unbreakable. I couldn't.
I know
that
Unbreakable.
Movie.
A lot Sixth of people Bruce hate Willis. It. But I love that movie.
Sixth Sense.
Yeah,
was great.
Sixth Sense was good. I mean, I thought Unbreakable was okay.
Ugh, see, the only thing like movie. With Sixth Sense, the only reason I really like it is because I understood what was going on like most of the way to the movie.
Yeah.
Like, Bruce Willis is dead. Okay.
Yeah. Does that have to do with Signs? Signs Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson plays some good parts.
I hated Signs so much.
Aside from the
incredibly sanctimonious religious message.
Yeah.
Like, that was the big point of the thing. Like, everybody thinks the big point of Signs was water kills aliens. No, the big point of Signs was God is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and not just that, but it's like
and the aliens were demons?
Yeah, and all this shit happens. Horror, death, destruction, whatever. It all happens so that he can be told to swing a goddamn baseball bat at the right time.
That's true.
I'm like, it's just
– Gee, thanks,
I'm
God.
The Lord works in mysterious and incredibly stupid ways.
Cruel ways to stop an alien race, you have to watch your wife die.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Horrible, horrible
Actually,
way.
That's pretty accurate if you're thinking biblically. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's very
old
like Testament.
Lot and given a wife afterwards.
All right, let's move on here, guys. Mug, what have you been playing?
She's hotter and younger.
Not that game. But actually, the only game I've really been playing much in the last week has really been a little bit of Okami HD here and there.
Yeah, good game.
Yeah.
All right. Eric, what have you been playing?
I'm playing more Danganronpa 2, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'll have that for review by release day, hopefully.
Okay, cool. Is that for Totally GN or?
Totally GN, yes.
Okay.
One thing I just want to say, like, it really irks me that you have companies that decide to just romanize game titles.
Would you like Bullet Truth Reputation?
No, I would. I mean, you.
No, actually, just Bullet Reputation. Because
there was a game on the Xbox 360, like an earlier game, where it was kind of like a bullet hell shmup that turned into like a like you would get to the bosses and you fought as like a robot. And I can't remember what it was like.
I'm thinking they thought that if they directly translated it, people thought it was a shmup and they wouldn't buy it.
Well, no, it was a shmup. But that's the thing. I mean, except for the boss fights. But the thing was, the way that they did it,
I'm talking about Danganronpa, by the way.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, but what they did, they came up with an English title and put the romanized Japanese title as, like, a subtitle of it.
Hmm.
Like, what game was this?
That's the thing. I can't freaking remember. It was, like, Warframe or something like that.
Warframe is a Warframe
game. Welcome to my world, not being able to remember the names of fucking games.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, damn, I never played it.
Are you talking about Dodonpachi Resurrection?
No, it wasn't a Dodonpachi game. But it's just, I think part of my annoyance at that is because nobody can friggin' pronounce things. You know, like Danganronpa. You know, like nobody's going. No native English speaker is actually going to say that correctly.
Because an English person or person in America will assume that everything is structured in the English phonetic system, and that's how they'll do it.
Hmm. Well,
it's like other languages exist with their other phonics. It's like okay, they don't care about that.
I guess
people are lazy like that.
Well, right. I mean, people are lazy clear across the board.
I know. I don't know if you remember Game Heroes, or it basically was a site created by one of the people that founded Screw Attack. Tom. He named his dog Ryu. Instead of Ryu. It's like when did you name your dog? Because like Ryu's been known for a long time now as the correct pronunciation.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, man. I got a question for you guys. What were the weirdest pronunciations you've heard for Street Fighter characters?
Okay. Let me go ahead and say this. I've listened to a lot of podcasts, and somebody else said this too. So I don't feel as bad, and I guess I can get away with it now, but I thought Guiles was pronounced Gilly.
I've heard worse.
Well, look, you could argue that
I didn't know Guile was an actual word.
How about this?
I was in the 6th or 7th grade or something.
How about this?
Unbelievable, but I was actually stupider then.
Right.
I know it's hard to believe that I was possibly stupider.
How about this?
Chun-Li? I've never heard that one.
But I can't remember what podcast it was, but when I heard that, I was like, yes! Thank you!
How about this?
I'm not the only stupidest person alive.
Unless you are specifically corrected by somebody in the know, like a developer or somebody like that, it is whatever you want it to be. That's my feeling.
Not necessarily.
That would have been the day of the NES where there wasn't voice acting.
Right. Dungeon Buster said he's heard Ru for Ryu. Oh.
Wow.
Right, actually, I've heard that.
The announcer does that.
Ru versus Ken.
That's the announcer's fault.
Who cares? Like, why is this such a big deal? Like, I understand in real life if somebody can't pronounce your name. Like, I've been through this several times where.
You've seen my last name, and I'm not going to say it on here, but.
Right.
No one ever pronounces my last name correctly.
Right.
My last name is rarely pronounced correctly.
But here's the thing. Like, and it's out of ignorance, right? If somebody doesn't know how to pronounce your name, they just don't know how to pronounce it until you say, no, it's not such and such, it's such and such. Now,
my problem is when people just keep making that mistake even after you correct
them. That's my problem. If after the correction, at least give them two times after that, then I have an issue. But like for video games, like who cares? Call Ryu Ru. Call him Kangaroo. Who cares?
I'll like beat you.
Who cares? Like honestly, it's much ado about nothing as far as I'm concerned. Like honestly, like it doesn't.
Let's put it this way.
It's such a bad
and this,
thing.
This is a real take on a name from Street Fighter that I heard.
Right.
Like and there's just. Something just very deep in my nature that just rebels against this. But right. I cannot abide someone's, you know, looking at a name and saying, that's obviously meant to stand for General Yule.
Yule?
Yule, as in Guile. G, as in G stands for General, and the name is Yule.
There needs to be a period there for that to work, like M.A.
And General Yule and his banana kick, the same guy.
Banana kick.
I don't know, man.
The game calls it the flash kick. It kind of does look like a bayonet.
All right, let's move on.
Did you punch them immediately?
I wanted to, but I
was... Chopped to the throat, maybe? We watched them
get angry. Yeah, I'd probably get angry over that, too.
Like, oh my God, what the hell's wrong with you?
Right, Dungeon Buster puts it best. If somebody at least tries and to get it right and they're trying, there you go. Yule logs for everybody. Let's move on. Breakman, you've been playing Plants vs. Zombies too. Whatever.
I gotta erase that so we stop saying it, because everybody knows I'm playing it and we want to move on from this. Some Final Fantasy IV, although I was playing it I guess Monday night or something like that, and I was through the one of the boss fights, one of the fiend fights.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of fell asleep.
No.
So I haven't played that since. I was kind of irritated. Because I don't want to go through all that other shit first. But anyway, I fell asleep during a boss fight. But the game I just started playing was this week, the final episode of The Walking Dead Season 2 was released.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did play through that.
So I Plants versus Breakman. No, it's Breakman versus Zombies. The plants are my friends and allies. Jeez.
I think the plants
God. Dungeon Buster's unexiled for that comment.
I just started the first chapter of The Walking Dead Season 2. So far, pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's a great game. I haven't played the second season, but I heard nothing but good things. So, yeah.
It seems identical to the first season, but there was a particular action scene where it seems like I had a bit more choices. So if I failed at one thing, I could do something else. So it seems like there's a little less "you're gonna fail right away" type thing. Yeah. If you don't do it right, you fail.
There's not quite as many just flat out game over moments.
Yeah. Yes, that's what it seemed like for me.
No, go ahead.
I have one spot where that happened to me, and then the frame rate fucking plummeted on the game.
Ugh.
And I died two times in a row because the frame rate wouldn't get back to what it was. And when it finally did, I was able to get out of that. There were some technical issues.
I think that the second season of The Walking Dead game it's hurt a little bit by having too many characters that don't get enough development.
So far, pretty much everybody I've known is dying really quickly. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. What else?
I'm sorry, people.
I laughed really loud because I went to a YouTube search and typed in Super Street Fighter 2 Ryu, and it knew that I was looking for Ryu fights.
All right, break. Anything else?
No.
All right, I've been playing Dragon Quest VIII.
The Android version for $15.
Nope.
Oh, congratulations! Thanks for taking one for the team.
Nope.
He's been playing Dragon Quest VIII for reasons no one has been able to determine.
Look, Mug, I'm going to hang up on your ass so fast, you son of a bitch. Dragon Quest VIII is the greatest game of all time. I reaffirmed it. The music alone is worth playing that.
Oh man, the music alone is why I can't really play that game anymore, because my girlfriend wants to scream when she hears the fight music.
It's so good. You know what?
Over
game...
and over again, she's like, "It doesn't matter where you are; it's the same fucking music."
That doesn't she understand the whole concept of RPGs? That's kind of the way they are.
That is a failing of the genre.
Maybe you need to listen to podcasts when you grind.
Yeah,
I think that's something that does need to change with RPGs. Like the same music over and over again, especially with boss fights regular fights.
Even if they would just do minor variations on it to suit the terrain you're on.
You're in a completely different castle, or world, you originally were.
Well, in the Tales games, oftentimes the battle theme just changes.
I'm going to call you son of a bitches out on this. You guys were bitching about budget. It would take a lot out of their budget to change.
Not necessarily. Music. I mean, doing a minor, and I'm not talking about composing entirely new music. I mean, say. for just like for your typical Final Fantasy game. Like if you're, you know, if you get into a fight out in, you know, like a field, like, you know, the grassy plains type area, it's like you hear your basic music. If you, you know, we're in a swampy area, suddenly it's slower, there's more reverb, and you're like, do you have
Which is funny because they actually used to do that. Kind of the very first Dragon Quest, the deeper you got into a dungeon, the slower and more dreadful the music got.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, that sort of thing is a lot easier to do when you're doing programmed music instead of streaming it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, look.
Well, in Dragon Quest VIII, U.S. and Europe's case, they actually use the symphonic suite.
Yeah.
In most of the game soundtrack.
Yeah. It just annoys me when you start off a game like, say, Dragon Quest, and you're fighting slimes, and then you go, you've been playing this game for 40 to 80 hours, and you're fighting like Dark Knights and stuff, and the music is still the fucking same and for the fight.
Yeah. Hey, Stealth.
It doesn't make sense. Think about it. You're listening to that one track for most of the time you're playing.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Especially for people like us who grind a lot.
Yeah,
we hear the fight music more than anything else, really.
You know what? You bring up a good point, though, Brake. Like, Whippix was always pissed when I played Wizardry for that reason.
I was joking about Mr. Frankman being pissed, but she really was mad about hearing the same music over and over again. It's one thing I would have
improved about Bravely Default. Just more battle music.
Yeah. Hey, Stealth has joined the fray. What have you been playing, sir?
Welcome aboard, sir.
Let's see. I'm about to start Phoenix Wright and Layton.
Yeah?
That's my evening before I go to sleep. Puzzles will improve my brain game.
Wait, is that before porn? Or
that's
after?
Not actually true, by the way.
I know. You better buy more of those type of games then, Stealth, because it hasn't worked up to this point.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention. I don't know if I told you guys that I tried to dig out my Neo Geo Pocket Color, and it was dead.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I still play mine.
Yeah, I mean, and it was, you know, it was very
dead. Battery?
Yeah, it's like I put in fresh batteries, a fresh secondary battery, and the watch battery, and it was just, it wouldn't turn on. Like, it would turn on for a split second and then turn right back off.
Mm-hmm.
That's dead. Like,
yeah, that's dead.
God, I used to know a place that repaired really any system, but they went out
of
business.
Yeah, well, it's like, I tweeted something about it. It's like, oh, God. You know, it's like, and like, because suddenly, you know, of course, I had the impulse to try playing some of my games. And of course, now that the thing doesn't work, I want to play all of them. And, but a friend of mine, Vincent Diamante, who was the composer for Flower, you know who he is.
Yeah.
And I've known him for ages. He's an old Neo Geo fan, too. But he said, I've got a spare Neo Geo Pocket Color. Do you want it? Seriously? Yeah. And so he sent it to me. Now I have a working Neo Geo Pocket Color again. Like, cool. Yay! So I was playing some Beastbusters Dark Arms, which is...
you should send me your broken system, because I'm running a collection of broken systems at this point.
What I really want to do... What I would really love to do is if I could take the thing and cannibalize it and to make a proper controller out of it, because I love the stick on the Neo Geo Pocket Color. Just that little micro switch stick. It's just, it's so responsive and it just works so well.
Yep. We got to move on here, guys. We don't have a lot of time to do this. Let's run through our stinkos of the week. Stealth, we'll start with you. You have any stinkos this week?
Yeah, the train schedule has been really crappy. I'm talking like hour and a half delays.
Yeah, that's why you're late today.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely
a story.
Hour and a half delays? What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. Huh? They're doing work all the time. I was sitting in Grand Central Station for like 30 minutes in the train. It hadn't moved.
Yeah.
Did you get any Hotfitch's number?
No. It doesn't work like that.
No? Okay.
All right. Yeah. Mug, what have you been playing? Your stinko of the week.
Do you?
No,
not this week.
Whoa, excuse me?
Ah. Of course you have to make this about sex break, man.
Not that I can remember. I don't know what drugs you've slipped me. But now, aside from some more bullshit with police, that pretty much is where my mind is as far as stinko goes.
Yeah, I agree with you. There have been – that kind of is my stinko too. Like, there have been – a bunch of shooting incidents recently and police not releasing video on it when video is available. Like, this is ridiculous.
Police.
I mean, the fact that it happens in the first place, but it
Frank asked you what you've been playing. That's why I said, didn't we do you?
No, or police, threatening to arrest and or, or beat, black people for sitting on a bench. Just general, or like there was a thing where a cop went up to a car full of of black men, and they were filming him, and he was it's like, I'll put a round in you, and this kind of shit. It's just like, you people really need to back the fuck off.
Yeah,
realize
no
there's a camera in front of you.
Yeah,
goddamn moron.
Look, that's why we had that story before, where the police and some of the police in California were wearing video cameras. Police need to wear video cameras, and they all need to make it readily available to the public. Like, there's a website that you go to for Denver, Colorado, or Los Angeles, or New York, or whatever the fuck it is. And the only time that those police officers are allowed to shut it off is in the bathroom, because, obviously you don't want people seeing your business, and I understand that. Or when there's specific strategy stuff going on. Other than that,
and me and you have talked about it before, and I think we both agree that the police shouldn't be there actively looking for crime.
Right.
They should be there to help people.
Yes.
They should be there if something is wrong.
Exactly right, Brake.
I thought they were there to protect and serve, not to monitor us like their hall monitors.
Right.
Or some
and the
shit.
The whole bullshit thing with unmarked cars. I think of my daughter. Right. I have a six-year-old daughter. What if she's out playing in the park or something, or walking home from school or doing something where I'm not, within eyeshot of her? And
Hold on. You're letting your non-white daughter walk around in public? That's a criminal offense.
Hold on. So here's my issue with that type of nonsense. If they're in an unmarked car, how would my daughter know to yell for help from them? She wouldn't. But a police car, she knows, right? With the sirens and stuff. Huge issue that I have with unmarked cars. There should never be an unmarked car on the streets, period. No reason for them at all, other than to harass people like you're talking about, Brake. Unmarked cars.
It's something they do around here pretty often, at least once a month. And I'm sure
cops
they do it
driving in not cop cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
They're undercover, so it's like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. They do pretty frequently around here, and I'm sure they do it in a lot of places like in Colorado and New York and such.
It's bullshit.
Sobriety checkpoints.
Oh, yes.
You'd think that the presence of an actual cop car would get you to, not speed.
Right.
They're looking for people to punish.
Right.
After they've quote-unquote done a crime.
That's just ass backwards. It's ass backwards. It's stupid.
Quota fishing.
Right.
Well, I will say that sobriety checkpoints.
Just wait until tragedy happens before we actually give a shit.
Yeah. Okay. But, sobriety checkpoints, the knowledge that.
Or speed traps.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Speed traps I think are stupid.
Worse.
Sobriety checkpoints, I don't have a problem with.
I have a problem with it. If you see somebody on the road that's intoxicated, you should have a number to call in, and the police should respond. Simple as that. Sobriety checkpoints are invasive, they're dumb, and they hardly ever do what they set out to do.
And
hardly
they're
ever.
Using equipment that even police say is not reliable.
Right.
A breathalyzer test? No police officer will take it because they refuse because they say it's not reliable.
Right. Well,
if
and the
police
is,
officer that is giving the test says it doesn't work,
right?
And what the fuck?
There's been plenty of evidence that shows even something as innocuous as what is that? Mouthwash can set those things to.
Oh yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I mean is knowledge that there are checkpoints does tend it. It does have the effect of reducing the number of drunk drivers on the road.
According to the police, not according to any sane, rational, scientific study. Like I have
questions with any study, even scientific studies.
Right,
you should.
That's the point, Brake. But anytime –
That's anytime, the Point Break.
Anytime that you
I'm dumb. I'm learning.
Anytime that you see the police publish something, you better turn a very skeptical eye to that, because it's always, oh, well, if we do this, it reduces crime by this. And it's not true. None of it. None of their studies.
I have a great example of that. Over the summer, I think back in June, there was a section of the of a pretty populous neighborhood around here that was heavily involved with prostitution and drug selling. So the police, their idea, and they say this was a huge success for them, was they put up barriers, like concrete barriers in the road to completely inconvenience the people who lived on the road. And their justification was that, hey, this worked. We got the drug dealers and prostitutes to stop going because, you know, no cars could drive in there. Right. Well, the people on those roads couldn't drive their cars either. They would have to walk to bus stops farther away for elderly people, which is absolutely ridiculous. So, yeah, so obviously crime was a lot less there, and they touted that, and they're probably going to do this again at some point. Well, it's not like crime just stopped. They just moved.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the most ridiculous argument.
It's like market data. We treat it like gospel.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It gives me a fucking headache to think about. Yeah,
it's pretty ridiculous. I'm not a big fan of any study that comes out of the police, because it's never done independently. It's never done repeatedly. It's like they tout things as though, like, for instance, here's another good example. Did you guys know that it's a lot safer by a long shot to drive 75 miles per hour as opposed to the standard 55? It is much safer, depending on the number of exits on a highway, to drive faster. Much safer. Absolutely 100% ironclad, scientifically proven through many a study, that it's safer to drive 75 miles per hour as opposed to 55. It is. It's proven. And they'll tell you, no, it's not. Speed kills, right? You hear that all the time. Speed kills. Well, I got news for you. There's a reason why studies are done on crashes at 35 miles an hour, right? It's not the speed that kills. It's distracted driving. It's, driving slow on the highways, which is, I mean, their purpose is to serve and protect and make things safe. Their purpose is money, right? That's what it is. All those tickets that you guys get when you're driving 75 in a 55 or thereabouts, all about money. Let's move on. Eric, let's do your stinko, and let's go on to Sweetos after that.
My stinko is from realgirl.com.
Okay.
That's like reels and movies.
Okay.
I was going to say, my first thought was realdoll.com. I was like, what?
No. Your mind too.
Anyways, It's basically an article about her complaining about Lego basically has discontinued I guess Lego had this thing where they made a contest where you could get a set built, and the set that won was a female scientist research thing institute.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that wasn't the contest thing. They got. You know, they got a request about something that shows like female scientists, and this kind of got this it kind of hit the viral airwaves, so to speak, and Lego was like people were like Lego, you need to do this, and so they were like, okay, well they put it out and they made it, and then it suddenly found out that without saying anything, it was a limited edition.
So, yeah, it sold us. It sold out, but we don't want to continue to make money for some reason.
I'm sure Lego will reproduce it. I'm certain of it. But if it
sounds like the cartoons that have been on recently, like, oh, we know people love this cartoon, but the movie sucks, so you're gone.
Because the market data doesn't say that people want this stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
even
dumb.
Though people bought it.
Right. It sold out. All right, let's move on to Sweetest.
Because we trust this as much as Christians trust their Bible.
Yeah. All right, Eric, let's move on to our Sweetos. I'm going to try to rush through this stuff here so we can talk about some stuff. Sweeto.
My Sweeto, I got two of them. Right. The nail polish has been created to help prevent date rapes. Anyways,
It says that basically the way it works is when the user swirls his or her finger with the nail polish on it into their drink, they can – if it turns a different color, that means that there's roofies in it.
Oh, good. Very good use. Very good. That is great. I mean, I think that any woman should have this in their purse. Like if they're
why stop at women? Why not men?
And same
there
thing are, with men.
There have been women that have roofied men,
right?
And tie them up into beds and
well,
stuff.
Well, you can
misery. Yeah.
Well, for
I was
men
gonna say, where are you getting this from? Soap operas?
No, actually, I do know someone, a male friend who was raped by two women.
Yeah. No, it does
and,
happen.
You know, it happens, you know, more often than people admit, and
right.
it's not pretty.
Well, they should make a clear polish, right? If man,
I
if
guess
a man
that's sort of like how men, most men get screwed in the system when it comes to children and divorces.
Yeah. So they should definitely make a clear version for men too. That would be great. All right,
like a non-polishy polish, something that you know it doesn't stand out. It's like you've got something on your nails.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nor does it smell like nail polish.
And you don't have to put
dear
it on.
Dear men, if you at some point think you're going to divorce your wife and maybe get custody of the children, only if she comes to the court and shoots up right in front of the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Or is they going to believe you?
All right.
Have a penis, you're automatically guilty.
Well, that's true. That's for another day, though.
Right.
Break. All right, Eric, your other one.
My other sweeto is that I didn't read the whole thing, but apparently a conservative judge brutally destroyed arguments against gay marriage.
Ah, yes, I've seen that. Or listened to it.
Yeah, Judge Richard Posner of the Seventh Circuit Court is a moderate conservative with an unapologetic bias towards reality logic. It sounds more like he's a social liberal and a fiscal conservative.
Yeah. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Oh, so you mean
that.
He's a libertarian, a so-called libertarian?
No, that's not exactly libertarian.
Well, but I'm saying that's what a libertarian is supposed to be, even though most libertarians aren't actually
into the libertarian. I took a
– I mean, we've talked about this. Like politically speaking, you, me, and Frank all fall into that, but we're not libertarians.
No, definitely not.
We fall into that spectrum, we're not those like hypocrites.
I fucking hate labels. I just hate them. I think we should just get rid of labels, period. No Democrats, no Republicans, no independents, no nothing. You just whoever you are, and that's it. But go continue on, Eric. Let's get through this.
Oh my God! Oh logic! Oh my head! Oh
right.
Logic!
Right.
Oh.
Anyways,
are you done, Break? You sound
yes.
like
sorry.
Yeah, right.
He's done.
Anyways, it says this bias makes him an ideal slate columnist. Whatever, that's opinion. It says also turns him an iconoclast among his conservative colleagues who frequently jettison prudence and precedent in order to achieve results that just happen to align with the Republican Party's platform. On Tuesday, Posner put his political independence front and center during a marriage equality oral arguments at Seventh Circuit, while lawyers from Wisconsin and Indiana attempted to defend their state's marriage bans. Posner issued a series of withering beach slaps that unmask anti-gay arguments as a silly nonsense as they are. This reading a string of brutal retorts is fun enough. It's even better to listen to them delivered with Posner's own distinctive cadence. And I guess there's some audio here, but I don't know if Frank can play that or not.
Where is
it
at?
In the link up?
I have the link up, but hold on. I'm dealing with
some... It's scrolling down there. It's like a SoundCloud file. You can see.
Okay, hold on. Which one do you want me to play, Eric?
Just number one is fine.
All right. Here is...
Indiana has a recognition of the marriage from outside, doesn't have a gay marriage yet.
Posner versus Indiana. It's a matter of indifference to you, is what he says.
This figure I gave, about 250,000, is the number of children who have been adopted by homosexuals, including the 3,000-plus in Indiana. Wouldn't it be better for these adopted children if their same-sex parents were married?
What? Oh, that's a good one. That's great.
What's a homosexual?
In other words, it's better to have two parents than just one.
Right. Okay, so we get a lot of that. Just put the link in the chat and people can listen to the rest of it. This guy's very sensible, it seems like. I haven't listened to all the audio clips, but I think it's great.
The second one's called Would You Criminalize Fornication?
Oh, this is a good one. Let's listen to this. Would you criminalize fornication?
Is to channel that behavior into a specific institution.
Criminalize fornication.
I'm sorry, what?
Criminalize fornication.
No, no longer.
Would you like to?
It's not an issue here. The legislature hasn't done that for some time.
It sounds like a way of dealing with this unintended child.
It's one thing to criminalize.
You don't seem to like adoption as a way of dealing with it.
Oh, I love it.
Is this guy running for president?
This guy should run for president. I could get behind this guy, even if he was
Republican. The way he talks is also sounds kind of condescending, but awesome.
Oh, I love it.
Exactly. He got some criticism for not letting the other guy talk, but I mean, like, every time he did, it's like, okay, you know, go ahead and tell me what, like, the guy doesn't have any, you know, the guy didn't have any arguments. It was just, you know, who is supposed to be damaged by this? Society. How? He doesn't have an answer.
Political rhetoric.
Oh, I love it. I love this guy right here.
I want to know more about this guy.
Oh, this judge is awesome. Love this. Love it. He may suck in other regards, but this right here, he's right on the money. Great for him. All right. Let's see. Break, sweeto.
Since we're in a hurry, my sweeto goes to the this long holiday weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Stealth, any sweetos?
Did everybody but Moriel Mug.
Nothing that I can think of. Nothing good really happened this week.
Yeah. All right.
After sitting on a train for fucking an hour?
Yeah, no.
Fucking an
exactly.
hour?
Exactly. I'm with you on that one.
All right, Mug.
Public transportation can eat a dick.
Yeah. Mug.
I think I want to give mine to Vince, who sent me the new Neo Geo Pocket.
Yeah, awesome. That's really cool. Really cool. Mine is I went to what's called the Indian Springs Resort with the family today and spent an hour in the hot springs. So that was really, really cool. So that's mine. All right, let's.
Did you do any of those anime-tropy bullshit things?
What?
In the hot springs.
I don't think that's a, you know, it's a, like, for bathing.
What was I supposed to do? What?
Anime trope type stuff.
Oh.
Like, you know, they putting the little, like, a handkerchief around on top of your head and to cover your nose, try peeking inside, that kind of thing.
No, none of that. All right, let's move on. Let's do a quick review, Eric, of Sin City, because I did see Sin City as well, Dame to Kill For.
Man, that bombed.
It did bomb.
I was like the only other one in the theater besides this other dude.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a Sunday morning, but you know.
Yeah, but it was on like 2,800 screens and took in like $7 million. I mean, that was bad.
Yeah, it did tank for sure. No, it was like eighth out of the top 10. On the flip side, Guardians of the Galaxy retook first place. So fuck you, TMNT.
How do you hate a movie so much you have not seen?
I don't need to see it, Break. I'll watch it for sure, but I'm not going
to
pay.
You don't need to see it. You sound like a typical.
I'm not going to pay $40 to see that movie at the theater.
You sound like
not
a registered voter. But I don't need to see evidence. I know what it is.
Whatever.
To be fair, he's not completely off base. You know. You haven't seen it.
I thought the movie was okay, but yeah, if you're gonna see it in the theater, don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's like I'm not gonna spend money to see it. I mean, I'll check it out, but
$5 maybe.
Yeah, it's like I said, you know, it's kind of as far as I can tell, it's kind of come and gone, and yet my enjoyment of the original series is undiminished.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, it's not gonna change my view of the original series, but
it's just a movie. It's not worth getting worked up over.
I tweeted someone on Twitter today about whether or not the turtles were atheists because they all have fedoras and they are creepy.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's move on here. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, Eric. Let's do this very quickly, man, because I want to get to this next topic.
I've not read most of the comics, but I don't know what the technological level in those comics are compared to the movie, but there's like cell phones, but everything reeks of like 50s and 40s.
Yeah,
that is the general tone of it.
Yeah,
kind of like Batman's Dark Deco.
Yep, it's an Art Deco movie for sure. Mm-hmm. But
this movie is obviously a sequel. Well, in a couple of ways. I mean, the same senator from the first film.
I think it's like aren't there three stories or two take place before the first movie and one takes place after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting the name of that one dude, the Johnny Light guy. Car dealing guy.
Yeah, I don't know his name. I know Marv.
Harold Gordon-Levitt, that's his name.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt or something.
Joseph Levitt. Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Anyways.
I kind of liked his story, and I kind of was upset that its resolution wasn't what I was expecting.
It's pretty fitting, though, for the comics. It's pretty faithful to the comic. The comics are great. It's the same style.
The ending of the movie is actually pretty abrupt too. It's like end scene over.
Yeah, that's another criticism. I watched this and the art direction's great. I love that type, that style. There were two problems.
It's extremely violent and unrealistic, but yeah, it's like good pulp shit.
There were two problems with this movie. Okay, one, it came out way too late. All right, mm-hmm. nine years.
Yeah. 9 years?
Yep, 9 years since the first. So that's way too long to wait for a sequel. By then, there were too many other movies that were just like this, right? It's kind of the same stylistic.
It's almost the same amount of time between 300 and the 300 sequel.
Yep, and that
although I heard that the 300 sequel actually had some good stuff to it.
It was okay. I saw that.
I heard this primary female antagonist was like really, you know, she was really interesting and compelling. I was like, okay,
yeah. I want to see that really bad. I just haven't had
Eva Green.
I love the first 300.
Eva Green was good in that movie, and she was good in this movie too. She was in both. She's a good actor. She's on Penny Dreadful, the series on Showtime, which is great. So
isn't that a werewolf show?
What?
Isn't that a werewolf show?
It's just horror. They have Frankenstein, vampires.
Without having like HBO and Cinemax, Showtime, stuff like that, there's not much else to watch.
Do any of you, I imagine Frank might, but do any of you know what a Penny Dreadful is?
Yes, I know what a Penny Dreadful is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else on the show knows.
No.
it's basically a cheap, like horror/gothic, sometimes detective novel.
Yep.
Mm.
Like comic book sort of. In a way, like a little novella.
Like basically, it's like.
Well, I've heard of Penny comics and Penny.
Well, no,
novels,
I mean, it's like, but these were called Penny Dreadfuls.
Yeah. Mm. And they usually had horrific stories.
Because they're dreadful.
Yeah.
Monsters or, like you said, Detective Gumshoe type shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this movie, I'd give it a 7, I guess.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I mean, I give it slightly above average. Six out of 10 for me.
That was around what I thought of the original. I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't anything, you know, spectacular. It was mostly like, wow, the visuals were really stunning. You know, it was just something that really you really hadn't seen before. Of course, and now that's no longer the case.
They made more use of color in this film because
Like, did any of you guys see The Spirit?
Yep.
No.
Yeah, I tried to watch it. I fell asleep. And it's just it was like, wow, this is so friggin' boring.
Yeah, it's pretty boring. It's not a great movie.
I fell asleep watching Gladiator.
Gladiator was good.
That doesn't take much.
Yeah, I know people love that movie, but I thought it was really boring.
It's good. It's a good movie.
The part I thought the villain was the most interesting part of the movie.
Gladiator had not to do Spartacus.
I like Gladiator. Fuck you guys.
There's only one Russell Crowe movie I really, really liked, and that was The Insider.
Oh, jeez.
My favorite Russell Crowe movie is probably Virtuosity.
Also, thanks to this movie, I did like Tarantino's next film.
Gladiator is the best movie.
Tarantino is making a film called The Hateful Eight, which is a tribute to The Magnificent Seven, which in itself is a re-adaptation of The Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, most of those people die. Sorry, people.
Yeah.
your favorite badasses will not make it out alive.
Yeah.
But they'll be badasses, but when they die, just saying.
All right, we're going to skip Grindr talk this week, Eric, so we'll keep that topic for next week. But Free for all, we were earlier talking about Anita Sarkeesian, the media, how she's been treated, our problems with her or not with her, the trolls on the internet, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of the topic for Free for all. So, Eric, you have an article here. What is this? I didn't get a chance to look at this article because you put it in late. What is this?
But it's talking about more about video game journalism and how over the past few weeks people have gone crazy and made accusations like there's corruption in the industry. Mm-hmm. And this
there's corruption in every industry.
Yeah,
I mean the thing is that the accusations of corruption are probably not validated or verified, or you know they're probably very incorrect assumptions.
If there is money to be made, there is a person being less harassed than reputable.
Look, Anna, I always say Anna, but it's Anita Sarkeesian's been going through a lot.
You really hate her, don't you?
No, I don't hate her.
You don't want to remember her name.
I don't know her, so I can't say I hate her, Eric. But from what I've seen, she doesn't deserve the bullshit that she's been getting on Twitter. And
no one deserves the kind of shit she's gotten.
No.
Nobody deserves the treatment they get on Twitter.
It's not only her, but people who defend her, too.
I don't necessarily.
I mean, look at what happened when Robin Williams died. His daughter was getting like, "Oh, he deserved it," and shit like that.
Right,
within
yeah.
like hours and minutes, it's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. The internet's a disgusting place.
Well, on the flip side, it's a wonderful place.
It's a disgusting place because humanity is really disgusting.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that.
I'm not saying everybody, but there are a lot of people who are.
Just Frank is disagreeable and disgusting.
No. Look. I've said this for years on this show. People in general, all right, the vast majority of people in the world of the 8 billion plus are good. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, right? So, but the ones that speak out and are nasty and unkind and stuff like that seem like a good, healthy majority because they speak up, right?
Problem is the people like
– What?
I don't.
Did anybody else just hear my voice echoing? Oh shit! I'm
No, you cut out. But here's my point. I don't agree with Anita Sarkeesian, right? I happen to think that she's an idealist. That while on the surface it looks like her thoughts are sound and rational, if you really dig deep into some of what she says, it's not right. She's high on her horse. I think she's angling for bigger and better things, which I guess who can blame her, because everybody wants a better position in life. But the big thing to take away from this is the people that are like giving her death threats and rape threats and shit like that don't deserve to even speak to her. Like she's a person. She's a human being. She doesn't deserve that shit. You're right, Mug. Nobody deserves that type of shit, but I tell you
what. It's kind of depressing because it'll... I'm getting echo too now.
Look, you have to... If you're going to be a big figure on the internet, right? Like, I've built my reputation through the years by doing a lot of podcasting and other shit, right? I'm not a celebrity, but I'm known. I'm known to a lot of people in this community, the WRN community, the All Games community, the Zombie Research community. I've reached out in a lot of ways, and a lot of people know who I am, right? I think I have to insulate myself from a lot of the hate that I've gotten from certain positions that I've taken on this show because I'm an atheist, and I just don't give a shit how... I come across when it comes to religion. It's very abrasive to a lot of people, but somebody's got to do it. Christopher Hitchens was a great example of that, right? He spoke out. So for Sarkeesian to take the stance that she does and to throw it out there on Twitter, she's got to understand that she has to have a thick skin. But when it comes to death threats, and, people saying the nasty things that they are to her. I think those people should be reprimanded in some way, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, whatever the case is. Like, and it's tough because if you become as popular as she has, she can't individually go down the line and say, Twitter, take this person out because they said this. And it's not exactly easy to...
Well,
Well, as it is, Twitter system set up in such a way that – should I stop talking?
No, go ahead.
Am I echoing? Because no. I can hear myself.
Yeah, I can hear – I can hear your echo.
All right. I'm going to hang up on Eric.
Now I'm getting it.
We'll get you. I don't hear any echo. I'll hang up on all you guys and I'll call you right back. My point is, look, she doesn't deserve the shit that she's taken, right? She's wrong on a lot of points.
Testing.
Yes, we're all here.
On something like Twitter, somebody's going to go crazy on you, if you're well known, you're going to have people in your corner too.
Yeah.
You're also going to have people that are overly supportive of you. You know, like I am of people.
Right. I was going to say,
if you watch my Twitter, like I really support like athletes and stuff who are getting, I think, too much hate.
I think the main thing, I've pointed this out on a couple places where, like, when it comes to Anita Sarkeesian, most of the time when people were responding to her stuff, the vast majority of them are not watching her videos. And you have most of them rely on, they're on two logical fallacies, one or both of them. You have poisoning the well. Mm-hmm. Which
she does quite well as well, to be fair.
Well, it's she's a bad person, she's a liar, she's dishonest, so what she's saying has no merit.
Right.
Not true.
That's not true.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. She could be, I don't always
she
think
she is not Nancy Grace.
She could be Joel Osteen, for all I hear.
But it's like, she may not always make her points well, and some of them she's not made honestly. But the points are still valid and worthy of legitimate discussion.
But see, that's not
like the idea of just the tiredness of the tropes that are used in game design.
Yeah,
in open world games specifically.
See, she goes off the mark quite a bit. Like she uses straw men quite a bit.
For example, though. I mean, if you've looked at, the first one that she put out, it's like, it had some stuff. I was like, I don't know about that.
Right.
But the later ones, like, she's got a really good point. Like the stuff about, women as decoration, like the mission in Assassin's Creed 2 with basically marking off the execution of a prostitute as a checkpoint, and it'll keep going until the player decides to
take them out.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird.
There's a scripted event where a guy will kill a hooker in Red Dead Redemption, and if you leave the area and come back, I'll be back there again.
Yeah, or the same thing happens in Watch Dogs. It's like it's not a hooker; it's like it's an ex. But I mean,
and how you can't intervene until it's like a certain period.
So yeah. I guess here's my whole deal. What should developers do? Just get rid of women altogether in video games? Can you imagine?
It's not that.
That
it's like you don't have to always present them as victims.
And they're not always presented as victims. I haven't heard one video by Anita Sarkeesian of saying these are the people that are doing it right. Right? Not one video has come out of her mouth.
Give me one example with Papa Leo.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like she's always focusing in on the negative instead of – she doesn't want change. She doesn't want it because otherwise she'd be pointing.
That's a straw man.
She would be pointing to the people that are doing
Frank
shit right. Right? She doesn't do that.
Not the purpose of the video. She's pointing out, problems. Sure. And the thing is, you don't have to be saying you don't necessarily have to say this is what you should be doing I'll grant it's not necessarily as productive as it would be would point to to when people are doing it right. But she's not under any obligation.
Well, I disagree. I think if you're going to get on that high horse
we haven't seen the rest of her videos. Maybe she'll actually get to that in a later video.
I'm hoping that would be a good saving grace because, to be honest,
it's part two of who knows how many parts.
Yeah, but look, the other thing I was going to mention, like I said, two logical fallacies. The other one is the fallacy, mm-hmm. and that is an argument poorly made is inherently false.
That's right.
That's
not
true either.
Right. But you should do your homework, right? If you're gonna,
well, she has been. Well, I mean, like, it, not, I mean, you know,
more so than she hasn't when she started, at least.
Yeah, right. I mean, and she, you know, her she's become. You should, I guess, you could say she's become more rigorous in, you know, in how she's approached everything.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, the people who are criticizing her are not about, you know, are not about her honesty. They're about shutting her up.
Right. And that's not cool. And I agree with that. The people that are against her also have to do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
They have to
And it's a knee-jerk reaction.
They have to do their homework, right? And I'll tell you, one person that did his homework was The Amazing Atheist. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I don't like him.
Actually, me neither, but I've got a better example for you. Tool Time. Yeah. Tool Time 91, I think, is his full nick on Facebook or YouTube.
There's a fallacy right there.
Tool Time not only criticizes her, but he also criticizes her detractors.
Yeah, right. And that's the right way to go about it. Look, I'm with you guys. I'm not a huge fan of The Amazing Atheist, but just because you don't like somebody doesn't mean that they don't have
valid
points.
No, I mean, it's not like I don't like him. You know, it's not like, you know, I don't like him, ergo he's wrong. It's just, you know, he does, you know,
he's crass.
Yeah, he's crass. He is a misogynist. I mean, he's not shy about that. He's, you know, he's said some unbelievably, you know, nasty things to people. I mean, and he may make good points, but he, you know, it's kind of the same kind of way I feel about Thunderfoot.
I think I would disagree that he's a misogynist, to be honest.
You haven't seen some of the, I mean, he's basically saying, you know, saying it's a good thing that so-and-so, you know, it's like, it's a good thing that so-and-so got raped, shit like that. And
I've never heard him say that. And all the times, all the videos that I've seen, I never.
This was something on Twitter, I think.
Is he talking about me?
I don't follow him on Twitter or anything like that. But any video that I've seen, he's never.
He wasn't being a poet when he said this too.
Not from what I could determine.
I would revisit that much because I'm not saying that he didn't say that, but it could have been him poking fun at something, or I don't know the case. But I mean, from all the videos that I've seen, and I've seen a shit ton.
Well, I'll tell you this much: I unsubscribed from his YouTube channel twice because I couldn't stand him anymore.
Well, right.
He's gotten a lot better since then, though.
Right, and that's fine. Like, I don't disagree with that. Like, if something pisses you off, which he's pissed me off a few times about.
Yeah. Hell, that's why I unfollowed Hideki Kamiya, because he's a sexist, racist asshole.
Yeah.
And he blocks a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he has no use for women unless they're, in his words, a cute babe.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I mean, he does. No, he has. You know, he's openly, you know, disrespectful to foreigners. You know, anyone is, you know, that's not Japanese.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
And it's just, he's an ass.
Well, here's another thing: people that bash men all the time are fuckers too.
Oh yeah, so absolutely.
It goes both ways.
I have a very simple policy of it. You know, if you think that an accident of birth, whether your gender, your skin color, you know, the location where you were born, makes you better than anyone else, you're an asshole.
Yep. No question. That amen.
Well,
I'm just better.
Look, asshole, right?
I think we'll close this show out by saying I'm just better than everybody, just because. You know, I mean, come on.
Said the man who likes.
I'm probably going to enjoy Bayonetta 2. That's just a virtue. To me, it didn't work on it.
That's a virtue, Mug.
Didn't he?
No, virtue. He wasn't the director.
Oh. All right. All right, let's go through our plugs. Stealth, you've been rather quiet. What's your stance on Anita Sarkeesian, my friend?
I think she's okay. I mean, I don't think she's that bad, honestly.
Nah. That's our stealth with the hard-hitting opinions.
No, just because I've talked to her a few
stealth
times.
Stealth is
Yeah.
I mean, I don't particularly like some of the videos.
Wait, did you talk to her in real life?
No.
No,
on Twitter.
On Twitter and other things. But
yeah, there's some people that I can't stand, and they don't even do half like the crazy videos that she does. So
yeah, I agree. But she does have some crazy videos, man. Like if you really break down some of those videos and think about what she's saying, on the surface they sound really cool. And
yeah, but she
really
doesn't bother
edgy.
Me as some other people who
I agree.
Talk about the same things.
Look, we could be talking, we could be spending our airtime on a lot of different people, right? So I agree with you, Stealth, but she's not the worst, but she's just do your homework. When you listen to her videos, I mean, she makes good points sometimes, but you got to pick those facts out with all the bullshit around those facts. Right?
Yeah, it's funny. I got really angry at people today talking about the new 3DS. That's where I went. That's where I got on fire today.
Yeah. Oh, the new 3DS. Yeah, we need, you know what? We need to talk about that in
literally
talk.
Called the new Nintendo the 3DS. New 3DS.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be the name in other regions.
Right,
in Japan, it will be.
Not. Right.
But
right.
I actually think I got convinced that the older models are going to get phased out, so it won't really matter at all.
Well, right. You know well, they what? Keep impression that not all old games will work on it, so they can't.
Let's keep this.
I think new 3DS is a better name than 3DS U.
Yeah, or
if
I
you
like,
think about it, because at least people that aren't in the know will look at it and say, "Oh, this is the new version."
I'm changing our
3DS
our,
Advance.
I'm changing our podcast right. name to New RP Grinders.
3DS Ultra Turbo.
New RP Grinders.
I'm not saying it's a good name. I just mean it'll be better for people that don't understand.
But
what's
new,
actually,
new
3DS
RP
Advance
Grinders
would not be bad.
Look, the new name of the show is New RP Grinders Ultra.
Advance.
New RP Grinders Ultra is the name
new
of the
new Super
show.
Ultra Special Championship Edition.
Jumbo
Mumble
Foxtrot.
Right. Hey, Stealth. Plug, sir. We got to end the show.
You could just follow me at Stealth and 3_. That's it.
All right. That's it. All right. Mug. Mug.
You can follow me on Twitter and or my on my YouTube. The username is Moria Mug, MoriaMug.
Mm-hmm. All right. That it?
That's it.
Breakman.
You can follow me at Break_man. Whenever I get the ability, I'll post my ice bucket challenge on Facebook. And fuck you, Freak 5 Chaos.
Shrunk Man strikes again.
We love you. We love you, Freak 5.
I guess I'm going to plug The Strain is the only scripted show on non-pay cable and television that's at least watchable.
It's really good. I have an issue with that series, but
I have more than one issue with that show, but it's
watchable.
Have Constantine or The Flash started up yet?
No.
No, none of those shows start until like October.
Both of those look really good.
Ugh, Constantine.
Oh, the point I wanted to say,
I'll probably watch it.
We had to hang up. I wanted to say Twitter doesn't have a good system in place of filtering people out.
I totally agree with that. I have a Twitter stalker that
obviously
still,
I've got two Twitter accounts.
And if you block someone that follows you, they could still message you.
Yep. I've been a victim of that.
Really?
Anyways, yeah.
And we don't even want
to
guess.
Wait,
who
you have to follow
you guys
someone
know.
Before they can message you.
Yeah, but sometimes it doesn't work that way.
If you're being stalked,
honestly, Twitter blocks you from messaging them, but if you include somebody else in the message, then they'll get through that way.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Who was I? Let's see, Breakman. Did I get you? I got.
Oh,
Stealth.
And I want to plug the Razzie Fireworks Company. They put on a show every Labor Day weekend.
Razzie, not Razzie.
Razzie's. Razzie. Yeah. I'll be staying at home to watch it as usual on the television, as opposed to going and dealing with crowds because people suck.
Yeah, they definitely do. All right, Eric.
I'm going to plug GameTactics.com. My review of Another Perspective is up there. And going to plug TotallyGM.com and write reviews for that site as well. You check out other reviews from other people. And then there's Boston Bastard Brigade, where you can find the review of Phantom Breaker Battlegrounds.
Is there any update on you and them?
I've got a message in. I guess he's going to talk to Rochelle about it, and they have to set up my account.
Yeah, shouldn't be an issue. I think by now you're an accomplished writer, Eric.
That's great news.
Yeah, it's good news, man. I need to start getting paid for this stuff. I know. You really should get paid, dude. Hey, at least on the plus
side.
Time to
fill in my resume for Destructoid.
God, what do you want, money?
Even if they aren't hiring now, at least they can always pull the file out later.
All right. Did I skip you, Mug? Did you go ahead and plug or not yet?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did.
My plugs are as follows. Stick around about a half an hour-ish or so, Grindr Dance Party. You guys are going to really enjoy this tonight. This edition of Grindr Dance Party is all about songs to have sex to, sexy songs, sex songs, anything of that nature. So it's
going to
be...
Oh, yeah. There's also my YouTube channel. I'm going to try to take some time to record the Mitsume Gatoru, which is a game based on Shuriken of the Three Eyes, which is a Tezuka manga that was created back in the day.
Yeah.
It's a fun little shooting game. Kind of like Batman.
How dare you interrupt sex for video games?
I know. How dare you, Eric?
What?
I will have sex for video games.
I'll have sex for less than that, I can tell
That's
you.
That's a winning combination.
All right. So make sure you stick around for Grindr Dance Party coming up in about a half an hour. If you're listening on Archive, every other Friday I do Grindr Dance Party starting about 9:30-ish Eastern time on WickedRadioNetwork.com and my Ustream channel, which I'll give you a link to in the chat. So that's about all I have. Oh, Wherewithal. The other show I do with Real Whiffix, my wife, she will be joining co-hosting tonight on GDP. So you guys are going to probably want to stick around for that. It's always a good time when her and I hang out and do podcasting and shit like that. So stay for the good times, the beer, the mixed drinks, the request a song type stuff. It's really fun. So stick around for GDP. And listen to Wherewithal at Share the Where on the Twitter. My Twitter account is at Frank Branches. Anything else, gents?
If you're an American, have a good Labor Day.
Yes. A good Labor Day weekend this weekend. Don't drink and drive. We want you guys here safe next week. Anything else, gents?
Keep an eye out for other people who are drinking and driving.
Yes. Be safe out there. We want to see you guys.
No death threats.
Yep, no death threats.
No rape threats.
Don't give Anita Sarkeesian any death threats or rape threats. All right, that's it. We're out.
Anyone.
Yep, we're out. Later.
No praise.